being a mother is something that I have to put intention to. Being a great mother is something I have to align my intention and my attention to. You have to put solid yellow lines around your business time, your personal time, and your time to be a mom, your time to be a wife, because they're all separate. As we get bigger and we're playing bigger games, all of the things in our life really have to transition and shift with us, or something or somebody gets left behind.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your podcast manager, Kristen, and with us today is host Blessing, CEO and founder of Mother Honestly, COO Nicole, and our special guest today is Melissa Hutter, owner of Indigo Salon and Spa and Boutique in Canton, and also certified life coach and business consultant. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So, Melissa, good morning. Thanks for coming. Really refreshing, because I came out to the Indigo Spa, and I got 90 minutes of just heavenly massage. It was beautiful. I think I fell asleep. I drank a little bit of wine, got some massage, fell asleep. I mean, beautiful, beautiful space, 7,000 square feet. So tell us a little bit about that before we even go into your past experiences. Tell us a little bit about that wonderful space.
I own a 7,000 square foot salon, spa, and boutique. We're a full service salon and day spa down in Canton's Cherry Hill Village. When we first started out, we were 3,000 square feet. We expanded 2 years later to 5,000 square feet, and then 2 years after that, we expanded to the 7,000 and bought the building and the property. We are a historic building, so our building's from 1865, which gives it a lot of character and a lot of nostalgia that's kind of in the energy of the building in and of itself. And, yeah.
And how long have you been in business now?
Thirteen years we've been there.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing business, 13 years.
Yeah, and to have expanded so quickly and so fast. I mean, 2 years ago you were in 5,000 square feet, and now, you know, you're in 7,000 square feet. So so how did you come about opening a spa business? What led you to that? What can you give us a little bit of your background and how you came into this business?
So I'm a massage therapist by trade, which is very rare for our industry to have someone who's a non-salon professional, salon stylist that owns a business in this industry. So I started out as a massage therapist, and then I decided I wanted to learn a little bit more about the business background of the industry, and I went to a course, and they actually recruited me to come on to be a consultant afterwards to help other salon owners kind of grow their business. And it was from that foundation of being a massage therapist and being on the business consulting side that I really realized that I wanted to create a space of my own. It was difficult to coach and consult other owners, and I would hear, like, you don't understand. You don't have a team. You don't understand. They won't do that. You don't understand. You can't create this. And I just really felt like I could. So I decided that I was going to open my own business and create the culture that I knew that we could have and create the experience that I knew clients could receive from a business.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
And so basically you had your kids before this journey, I assume. So you had one, and then you became a massage therapist, and then you had another had a son afterwards. So can you walk us through how you kind of started this business as a mother, and then, you know, again, you had a baby right after starting the business. Mm-hmm. What were the challenges that you faced during that time?
My daughter was very young when I was doing our build out. That was very complex, having a small one in a pack and play while you're trying to build.
Story of my life.
Yeah. So my daughter at that point, I was pregnant with my son when I had the vision, and then I had him before we opened. But during our build out, he was in a pack and play. My daughter's in a stroller. We have a crock pot on the floor. We don't really have a floor. It's kind of half there, half missing. We have no walls. So that was a really big challenge to be able to find the balance for myself between constantly feeling like I was on this teeter-totter. If I gave the business what it needed, then I felt like I was shorting my children. And then if I gave my children what they needed, then I felt like I was shorting my business. And I was constantly on this never enough in any space type of a balance.
And so looking back at that and now, were you ever able to get to the point where you felt like you were given enough to both?
Not until probably about year six in the business. I found myself extremely frustrated. I found myself a very successful entrepreneur. I found myself a very successful business owner, a very successful business leader, feeling like I was doing the best I could to be the best mom that I knew how to be. I've always said that some people I feel are born gifted in business and some people are born gifted in being a parent. Me, business comes natural. Business is something that I can wake up, do all day long, do the hustle, do the grind, and not even blink an eye. Being a mother is something that I have to put intention to. Being a great mother is something I have to align my intention and my attention to. It doesn't come natural for me. And at about year six in my business, the bigger and bigger that we got and the more and more that we started to create as an organization, the more I started feeling like something was so missing in my life. I just couldn't put my finger on it. So I had called a gal that I had met at a salon hair show who was a life coach. And I said, hey, can you teach me more about this meditation thing? I really think it's what I need. And she literally laughed out loud at me. So like LOL like, really? In the real sense, laughed out loud. And she says, so you think meditation is what you need? And I was like, well, yeah, like it sounds like that's
the thing.
Perfect resolve, right? She says, I really think that you need a life coach. And I said, do you? Cool. All right, let's do this thing, right? Like something's got to shift. So I hired her as my life coach and my entire world transformed literally before my eyes. Everything that I had been doing for my business, thinking that I was doing it for my family and for myself, I was really doing to my family and to myself. It was more of this bigger, better, faster, stronger train. And because I knew as a business consultant how to scale a business, I knew as a business consultant how to grow a business and have high numbers. But I didn't know what I was doing to myself in the interim of creating that. And I became my business. I actually said that out loud. I can think of times that I said that in language.
Wow.
Where people would say, well, what do I write the check to? I'm like, I am Indigo. Indigo is me. It doesn't matter. But it does. It does, and it did. I became my organization. And because of that, I lost my identity as Melissa. I lost my identity as a wife. I lost my identity as a mother. After my life coaching journey, I realized that there was a piece that I was missing with my consulting clients. Here I was coaching them, guiding them, supporting them, and having everything that, you know, I had created, everything that I'd created in other organizations, all of it, the good and the bad. So I had all those people on the bigger, better, faster, stronger train.
Right.
And after I got the education that I got from hiring a life coach and going through my own personal journey, I realized that was a big miss for me and that was something that I was very passionate about and felt that my true calling and my true value that I brought to my organization was who I be, not what I do. So I went back to school to get certified, to be a certified life coach myself, and now I can bring both to the table, not only to my clients, but to my team at Indigo. And that is what's brought the balance back to my life. Melissa, that is what has allowed me to do that.
What can people expect from a life coach? Because I think there's a lot of ways people interpret it. I don't think anybody really knows exactly, like you, as a matter of fact, you know, as you're doing your business and stuff, you didn't even realize that you yourself needed a life coach. So what can somebody expect to receive from a life coach?
I would say that that's kind of a very, it's a varied question. It depends on who the life coach is that you're hiring, and it depends on what they're specializing in or what their niche market is, or also what's in your space as a human being. The expectation will vary based on that. I would say working with me, what people can expect is to find balance, to find that space between success as an accolade, success as a paycheck, success as in a number, and success as a true feeling in your heart. So I think that that's what I bring to the table with the business side and the life coaching side, is to really help people do both. It doesn't have to be an either or. I really encompass the both and type of a mentality, and I think that that's what I bring
now,
to the table.
Do you find most of your clients are women in business and women in entrepreneurship? Because we feel like we are kind of, I don't think men think about whether or not they are in or out of balance with what their business is and their family is, and I think women frequently feel guilt if they're not doing what they either feel like they're letting themselves down because they're not letting themselves grow as business people, but then feel like they're letting their families down because they aren't first and foremost as a parent. Do you find that most of your clients are women?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every one of my clients are women, and I would say 90% of them are women entrepreneurs. I don't say that that's my niche market. It's not the only market that I work with, but it is the market that I feel most well-versed in and most connected to myself, and I think that that's what attracts those people to me. It's not that I go out and seek only that. It just seems to be that that's the market that's most drawn to me.
So you and I have had this conversation. You know, you've kind of grown your business to be able to run on its own. And I think that that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs are having problems with right now, is how can I, you know, kind of leave my baby and let my baby kind of, you know, take, you know, fly on its own. What are some, you know, steps that you took in order to be able to let your business, you know, be its own entity and grow itself, or at least have other people run your business in a way that you would run it? What are some of the advice and tips that you have for moms that are trying to kind of create more time for their family so that they are present for their family, but they still have a successful business?
Mm-hmm. I think it starts with intention. I think first and foremost, you have to know what your intention is, and then you got to start putting your attention in alignment with those different things. My intention was that I was going to go through a life coaching program, and I needed somebody to be able to support my business, or a group of people to support my business, so that I could do that, so that I had something more I could bring to the table to my staff. In doing that, I had to really look at, do I have all the right people on my bus, and are the people sitting in the right seats?
I love
that. Who are those people that I already have on my team who I know that I can count on? Who are my people who I can teach and train, that I can elevate to a new level of accountability, that can step in and step up in that way? The first step, though, is really checking in with self and knowing that we as entrepreneurs, most of us, think that only we can do it the way that we do it, which is true. However, there are probably people in your organization that will not only do it the way you do it, but do it better. But it's a matter of not standing in guilt and shame around that, and humbling ourselves to a level of being transparent and vulnerable to say, you know what? You can totally kill this place better than I can. And giving them the control, the ability to actually take that on, which was a big step for me, because control and protect are two very strong behaviors that I have when it comes to my organization. And I had to give up that.
Give up that control so that you can have...
Yeah, it's part of the balancing act. Balance. It's part of allowing somebody else to do the things that you think only you can do, and exploring the opportunity of whether or not somebody has the ability to do it better.
And so go ahead.
I think that applies to a lot of things. I know that in my home I have that problem where I'm like, no, I need to make the beds. No, I need to make dinner. No, I'm the only one that can get the paperwork filled out right. That I'm sure my husband's capable. I'm sure my boys at 16 and 22 are capable of the things that I'm like, no. Because I don't want to let go. Mm-hmm. That I could probably get so much more done in a day if I just was like, I step back from that control and that protection and said, you probably can manage this on yourself. And that's just huge in our lives, not even just in our business.
And we keep people small. We keep people small when we don't see their greatness and when we don't allow them to live into their greatness. And that's something that I've really had to transition with in my organization, is allowing people to be big. And allowing people to shine.
Absolutely.
And to shine brighter and to be bigger even than I thought I was myself. Or even in the way that I view myself now. And it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There are times where you're giving up that shine and you're giving up that bigness that you still want to be seen and that you still want to be acknowledged and recognized. And it's about really acknowledging and recognizing yourself in that moment, that I can provide that to me. For myself, because now in order for my business to function and in order for my life to work, I have to give that up to other people. And it's not just one person, you know, you give it up to a team. You find the people who are great at something and allow them to live in their zone of genius. And when they're living in their zone of genius, what's able for them to produce within your organization is astronomical. And them being able to produce those levels of results in my organization is what allows me to be more of a present mother. And, you know, I didn't do it, and I caution myself on saying right or wrong because I don't feel that there's a right or wrong, but there's definitely things I could have done a lot better with my daughter. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I was a very young mom and a very young entrepreneur, and now I get to choose. That's the really beautiful thing about being a human being is every moment we get to choose again. And if we don't put ourselves into guilt and shame and we don't sit with those inner dialogue thoughts and the stories that we make up about ourselves or that we tell ourselves about how we are performing, and if we actually check in with our kids, they'll tell you something different.
Right.
If you actually check in with your kids and ask them, how am I doing as a mom on a scale of 1 to 10? It's very rarely anywhere in the realm of what we think it is. I might grade myself as a 5, but if you go and you ask my kids, they're probably going to say 8, 9, 10.
Right.
We make up our own stories, and it's that that makes us feel uncomfortable. It's that that leaves us in guilt and shame. And this is my opportunity to choose differently every day. And to do it differently, to do it better, to do more, to be more attentive, to be more active, to be more patient. Can't go back.
No. Can't change the past.
Can't change the past, sure. But I get to powerfully live into the future, and I'm very grateful for
that. So how do you find the right team, and how do you empower them in order to be able to create that balance and space for motherhood?
100%, it's about hiring for inspiration, never desperation. Making sure when you're recruiting, when you're marketing, when you're training, that you're really cultivating the culture that you want first. Hire for attitude, teach the talent. You can't change who people be. You can elevate who people be, but we can't change them. And the more that entrepreneurs focus on that change factor, the harder it becomes for us. And I think if you can find the right person as a human being, that then at that point you can bring them forth and call them forth into their greatness and whatever that zone of genius is that they have to offer to your organization. And I think that that's what's allowed us to be as successful as we are in making sure that you have an army. It takes an army. It takes a village to run an organization, big or small. And the bigger that we play, the bigger the breakdown. And the bigger game that we play, the more people we need on the field. So we've really got to look at and evaluate the type of a business that somebody has and really look at and evaluate what is their life goal. Because we have all these business goals, but a lot of times I find that my consulting clients, when we ask about life vision and we ask about like an ideal work schedule, they're like, oh, I get to pick that? Yeah, you get to pick that. What is that for you? And putting those solid yellow lines around things, I tell my clients, and I even tell my staff, it's really about having solid yellow lines. It's about if you're driving down the street, the only people who are allowed to cross a solid yellow line is someone in an emergency vehicle. You have to put solid yellow lines around your business time, your personal time, and your time to be a mom, your time to be a wife, because they're all separate. The I am, to say I am a business owner, or I am a wife, or I am a mother, that's not my identity. Those are things that I do, but that's not who I am. I am Melissa, and that's that. There's nothing more or less to that. The rest of it is things that I identify with.
Right.
And I think that we as women very easily get trapped into those identities.
I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Mom.
Yeah.
You are more than a mom. And that's something that we talk about here a lot is we're more than a mother, and we have so much to offer ourselves. We have so much to offer the world, and we cheapen that by saying, I'm just a mom.
I was just going to say that I'm just a mom needs to be abolished from the language. The I'm just anything. Mm-hmm. You're not just anything.
Yeah, it really cheapens everything. It cheapens all of your accomplishments up to that point. It cheapens who you are personally. So for me, Melissa, is I love where you're going with the solid yellow lines and creating boundaries. So how have you created boundaries? I mean, because for me, it's easy for me to say, oh, I can definitely, you know, put that yellow lines, but as a multi-passionate person in a multi-dimensional world, it's very hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I take my laptop home. I check my emails at home. I'm doing more honestly as I'm breastfeeding sometimes. I'm taking phone calls. There really isn't a solid yellow line for me, and that's just the honest truth.
They're more blurred lines.
more like blurred
work lines. In progress, right?
Yeah, I am a work in progress. So I envision a lot of women in that situation where they're just trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. What are the things that we can start doing? Or the things that we can stop doing in order to more define this boundary? Or maybe we don't even need boundaries. What is your take on that?
First and foremost, no make wrong. Don't make yourself wrong. If you take your laptop home at work, that doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't mean anything about you as an entrepreneur, and it surely doesn't mean anything about you as a mother. The boundaries, when you ask, should we have them or does everyone have to, I think it depends on the individual. Is it healthy to have boundaries? Absolutely, but that boundary for you could be 1 hour. That boundary for me could be 5 days. It's going to vary from person to person, but it's whatever is going to make you feel whole and complete to the grandiose level in the majority areas of your life. I think that's the boundary that needs to be set. For me, I know that I don't like to work evenings. So there are some consulting clients that I miss out on because I don't take consulting clients past a certain time of the day. I have 3 spots for evening appointments, and that's all that I take. If I've had those full, then I have to decline a client sometimes, but I have to be okay with that.
Correct.
And stand in the space that that's okay for me. Also, separating myself from the day-to-day breakdowns in my organization, I'm available for 911s 24 hours a day. 411s are a totally different story. I have people in my organization in each area of Indigo that are responsible for filtering the 411s that come in to those specific departments. If they can't figure it out, then they have resources to use. And if that doesn't work, then they know to come and contact me. But isolating that boundary for me has allowed so much more balance in my life because as an entrepreneur, it's not if there's a fire, but when. And it's all the time.
All the time. Oh, yeah.
We're fire women everywhere we turn, right? So I think the biggest thing that I would say is figuring out what does that look like for you? What does balance mean to you? What is balance as a feeling? Because balance on paper, balance in a calendar is one thing, but what does being balanced feel like? For me, being balanced feels like freedom. That's what being balanced is for me. Ease. That's what being balanced is for me. Does it mean that I may not work 10, 12-hour days some days? No. I do that a lot. But I'm balanced in that 10 to 12-hour day. I feel good. I feel whole and complete.
And to be clear, the balance doesn't mean, well, if I spent 4 hours with my kids, I'm going to spend 4 hours with the business. I'm going to find 4 hours for my husband. It means mm-hmm. that you contributed the hours you needed to the thing that it needed. So your 20-year-old daughter may only need an hour of your time that day. And maybe your 14-year-old son needs 3 hours that day, and the job needs 9. And mm-hmm. that's your balance for the day.
And everybody's happy.
Yeah. Not everyone's happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My balance for me and my intention is to be available if and when they, meaning my husband, my son, my daughter, my friends, my parents, my business, when they need me, my balance is to be able to be available. And I've created that in the structure of how my businesses work together and how my leadership is applied. I manage my managers, lead my leaders, and coach my coaches, and allow them the power, the freedom, the ability to really live in their greatness, because I have some of the best and most amazing people on our team.
Oh, you do. When I came in, everybody was like, they knew exactly what to do. I mean, obviously, that's why you hired them. But everybody worked together in sync. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could feel it. You could, as soon as I wanted to go check out, you know, there was a person that was trying to share more products with me, mm-hmm. and another person checking me out in between and saying, okay, do you want any of this product? And when I went to get my massage, somebody came to me with the wine, and another person already had my room ready. I mean, everything was... It was efficient. That was one of the most efficient spas that I've ever been to, because I'm not like the person that had my towel had it ready. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was in sync, efficient, and effective.
Processes were in place.
Oh, yeah. They had the right processes for sure. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to my next question as a business owner and Indigo, can you tell us a little bit more about what you guys do? Because I know a spa in today's world can mean so many things. So tell us a little bit more. Let's learn more about what you have.
We are a state-of-the-art facility. We pride ourselves on staffing the most well-educated, well-rounded professionals in the industry. But our motto is to never lose the hometown feel. Our commitment to all of our guests is that they leave with a better experience than what they feel they invested in for the service that they had. We hold very, very true to that. Whether you're coming in and having $1,000 worth of services or coming in and having $15 worth of services, if you're wearing your bathrobe and slippers or a three-piece suit, we want you to feel like a true guest in our home and that you're welcomed. And I think that we've done a really good job of executing on that. We do hair and nails, makeup, massage, facials, body treatments, body waxing, lash extensions, lash tinting, makeup, airbrush tanning. Literally, we do everything that you can possibly imagine outside of
anybody's spa. So you're like the self-care kingdom, basically.
Yes. Like, yes.
Just a full day experience.
Yeah, and we know that
people... I need a full day experience.
Give me everything. Nails.
And we honor that people are time poor right now. We honor that. So we're not the spa that you're going to come to that we're going to leave you in the waiting area for 20 minutes.
Like cucumber water.
We know that people want to have these experiences at an elite level with very highly qualified professionals in a beautiful setting. But we know that people are really looking to have all of that, get a great service, a great experience at a great investment, and then they've got to go back to real life. So we provide that safe haven, whether it's somebody who's coming for a six-hour day or coming for a 60-minute service. We're going to provide you the entire experience regardless of what you're coming for.
That's amazing. And now you have this business. It's obviously successful. So what do you do on a regular day? Do you go into work or you, I mean, I know you have this life coaching business as well, which is perfect.
Yeah.
So what is your day-to-day like? And as a mom, how does being a mom and being a wife, I know you and I talked a lot about, you know, even creating space for your marriage and how, you know, your marriage has shifted, you know, in the last 13 years of your business. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So... It's one of those things that as you evolve, you've really got to transition all of the pieces, right? So as we get bigger and we're playing bigger games, all of the things in our life really have to transition and shift with us, or something or somebody gets left behind. So really paying close attention to all of the different pieces of your puzzle are really, really important, and isolating the intention and attention to each one of them. I know that I need my one-on-one time with my husband. I know that I need time dedicated to being a mother. I know that my business needs time for me. I know that my side business needs time from me. So I really set my intentions with that. I have daily meetings with my leadership staff.
Okay.
I have weekly meetings with my accountant, my financial advisor, as well as my bookkeeper. I spend the majority of my time driving my son to and from wherever he needs to go. My daughter's on her own, so she's very self-sufficient. So I'm dealing with a whole new layer and a whole new season of motherhood. Not just motherhood, now that I say that, speaking very humbly and vulnerably, it's a whole new season of life for me. Because now my business is such a well-oiled machine. My son is self-sufficient. He's 14. My daughter doesn't live at home anymore. I'm in a whole new season of where am I needed?
I was there this summer as we were talking about this. My 22-year-old got his first real job. He happens to be at home because he's saving for a house in the next year. my youngest got a driver's license, so I didn't need to do the chauffeuring work anymore. And my 120-pound dog, who was a pack animal and I was his pack, passed away this summer. So all of a sudden, I was in this moment where I was like, and nobody needs
me. Cares.
Like, I'm still a mother. I still mother these creatures. And I was like, great, I have more time for my husband, but he also has a very intense job, so he doesn't have more time for me.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah,
trying to fill the space.
Trying to fill the space, but evolving. And it was like, what a blessing to actually have, no pun intended, because that's when blessing walked into my life, but to have that opportunity to evolve and to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's crazy how life transforms in front of us, and every day is a new day with different challenges and different blessings and different opportunity, right? And different evolution of who we be and what we do. And I would say really making sure that each day you set your intention to what is today going to be dedicated to. And I have alerts in my phone, which people think I'm funny, because if you actually looked at my phone, you looked at my calendar, you'd be like, oh Lord, like what are you doing with all of that? Like that's a whole lot of stuff going on. But I have to schedule myself a reminder when to leave the salon. I have to schedule myself a reminder of when I'm going to stop working. Schedule myself a reminder to even check in on my kids. Again, like I said, being a businesswoman comes naturally to me. Some mothers might look at that and be like, wow, that's really awful.
Yeah.
I own that. I own that about myself. I own that it takes intention and effort for me to be a good mom, and I'll own it. I have to put a note in my phone sometimes to remind myself just to check in with my kids.
I put a note to send a text to my husband because I just get carried away with work and everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have not spoken to this guy in 10 hours.
So. But that's intention. Right. That's what I mean, ladies. When we speak about intention, that's intention. It's not because you don't love your husband.
Absolutely.
Or that you're not thinking about him all day long. It's that everything else is also going through your brain. But your intention is to make sure that your husband knows that you love him. Your intention is to make sure that he feels in his heart at that random moment in the day, wow, she thought of me. You might have thought of him 10 hours before that.
Correct.
And that's what caused you to put the message in your phone. But you put intention around it so that you paid attention to it later in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you shouldn't feel guilty about that, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes at whatever cost, guys. Like, seriously, whatever it takes. And that would be the biggest thing. And even if it's managing your staff, acknowledging your team, recognizing the people in your life, big and small.
Setting that intention.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, this is amazing. I feel like, you know, you have a wealth of information when it comes to, you know, really owning your business and owning your life and really setting good intentions, like we've said all day. What top three advice do you have for women that are trying to grow their business? Because obviously you've been very successful in growing a business and really still owning your role as a mother and as a wife. What advice do you have for them? Top three things they can do in their business today to grow it without burning out.
First and foremost, identify exactly what success is to you as a feeling.
Okay.
That would be number one. Number two would be to really have a healthy relationship with time and money.
I love that.
That's mm-hmm. going to be a big one. That's what will keep you grounded and focused. And the last one is to align your intentions with your attention.
I love it. Thank you so much, Melissa. Where can our listeners find you?
Well, Indigo Salon and Day Spa. So www.indigosalonanddayspa.com. And we're in Canton. And
are you on Instagram?
We are Facebook? On Instagram, Facebook. You can find us everywhere. Indigo Salon Spa Canton at Indigo Salon and Day Spa. And I also am a life coach and a business consultant. And
where can we find that information?
Yep. It's at lifecoachandconsult.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Melissa, for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank
you. I had a great time. Now I'm going to be thinking about intention and attention.
Yes.
Walking that into my life.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Mama, for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your show manager, Kristen Baffo, asking that you please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And for more resources, visit us at motherhonestly.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.